Heavenly Father, we do thank you for that sweetest name we know. And because of him and what he has done, we ask that you would break this bread with us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You that have your Bibles, and you that haven't been here, we're in the book of Romans. And we have just finished up on the last 11 verses of the third chapter. That is Romans. And the last 11 verses are from the verse 21. He has condemned the entire world, the whole human race, and he said, by the deeds of the law, that's anybody that's ever been born, that's came to a age of accountability. They might have sinned up that time, but they didn't realize it. When their conscience told them, from that time on, they were guilty before God. And he said that every mouth may be stopped. Understand that your mouth may not be stopped here, but it will be when you meet him. If you are not or have not been born again, your mouth will be stopped. You will be guilty before a loving God. And you will have to admit that he is a loving God. He did everything he could to keep you from going to where he's going to have to put you, because you are a sinner. And what he deals with now in these 11 verses is the justification, and the only way to justification is through faith. The 27th verse says, by what kind of a law works? The law works of the law? No, but by the law of faith. The law of faith with God is the only law that he can't reverse. Now, there's other things he would not reverse. But he could reverse gravity. He reversed age in Abraham. He reversed the sun when he had it stop in time. He can reverse anything. But this is a law that he cannot reverse. If you come with an honest heart, in faith, in the name of his Son, he will give you help. And he's the only one that can help you. And as Paul says here, that's the only way he will help you. He can't help you any other way except of this law of faith, of believing. He ends his introduction with the Old Testament scripture that he uses three times in three different ways, parts. And the just shall live by faith. Now, a justified person in God's sight is and has to be somebody that's righteous. Understand that. Being that he cannot look upon sin in the least degree of allowance. Do you think that he would be contaminated with sin? If he turned his back on his Son and it became dark, and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Don't think he'll ever look on sin in the least degree of allowance. He won't. He can't. And so he's explained justification now. We go into justification, and then the fourth and fifth chapter, he'll use two men, one under the law and one not under the law. He'll take two men that almost everybody knows, Abraham and David. The Holy Spirit don't choose Lot here. Now, Lot was justified. Get that straight. Abel was justified. Get that straight. And all these other people were justified. Moses was justified, but he don't use him. He uses Abraham and David. And beyond anybody that knows anything about the Bible, and especially the Jews, they'll tell you that not only Abraham is justified, but that it's called his bosom. See? So, to say that Abraham wasn't justified and Abraham isn't in heaven, well, it's to what? And also, David. Who would dare say that David was not justified? Who would dare to say that David become to the place where he had a sanctified life? See, he couldn't use Lot here because Lot never had a sanctified life. But he was justified. He was just as justified as Abraham. So, for Paul to go through these 11 verses, what revelation have you got of that? You go into the churches today and go to these 11 verses and ask those people, what in the world are you doing all this works for? Works, works, works they're going through. What are you going through the law of works? And they'll say it's necessary. You read to them that 28th verse, and they'll say that cannot be. So why does the Bible, and why does our Apostle Paul have to go through justification over and over and over? Why? Because it's a subject that we just cannot grasp. We want to do something. Justification comes only, as he says here, one way: believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. The jailer was told, what must I do to be justified? That's what he said. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be justified, and thy house. Not that his house was going to be justified for him believing, but only that they had to do it the same way. Go home and tell your wife and your kids they got to believe for themselves. Justification only comes that way. So this book of Romans is how God makes the ungodly, we'll read that, justified. Of course, sanctified. So that's what we've been going through. And then he writes one whole book to Galatians, to people that were justified, they were saved, and yet they believed that they had to hold on to that justification through works. So it's no wonder. And if you really honestly know yourself, you always want to do a little something. That's a Philippian jailer. What must I do? The young man that come to the Lord. What must I do? In the sixth chapter, what must we do? See, man wants to do something. Adam and Eve, they wanted to do something right away to cover their unrighteousness. And so they sowed fig leaves together. And undoubtedly they were put some effort into it and were very comfortable in front of each other. They thought they were covered until what? Until God appeared on the scene. And then they went and hid because they were naked when He appeared. See, that self-righteousness was not enough. They had an unrighteous nature. So, how am I going to ever be justified before God? I have to have a righteous nature that can never be anything but righteous. Anything but. God killed some animals and covered it. He is the one that provided their covering. So this imputation and this justification is Christ's righteousness. That is what is justification. You can't get any more justified than His righteousness. It's a perfect righteousness that's been tried and has been resurrected. It's perfect. You are provided, just like Adam and Eve were provided, Christ's righteousness. He died. He took His righteousness and put it on you, and took your unrighteousness and put it on Him. If you believe that, that's justification. And that's what He's saying here. The Adam and Eve, they thought and felt just like we do. You know, pretty good. You might feel a little better than the person sat next to you, because your fig leaves, you put more work on them. But they're going to dry up and be sticky just like the one that has something on next to you that they just sewed together in a minute. Not much. It's still going to dry up. And when He appears, you're going to find out that you're a sinner and you need a covering. Now, we are forever covered in Christ's righteousness. That's imputation. Here, in these 11 verses, notice how many times, if you want to go read through it, He mentions justification, the justifier, justified. Now, up to the time, God didn't punish. Now, if He'd had to punish Israel or anybody one time after He'd warned them and warned them, there wouldn't be anybody here. Realize that. There wouldn't be anybody. We wouldn't be here. Been dead a long time ago. So it says, how could this holy God that could not look on sin in the least degree of allowance? How could He? And of course, we know that the devil, he accuses all of us day and night. See? Sinners, sinners, sinners. A holy God, the backbone of your throne is holiness. How can you be holy and not judge sin? Well, it says that he looked over sins, past and to come. How could he do that? How could he be the justifier of these people? When they had a contract completely, or they would die. Now, they didn't die. David didn't die. Well, he did it because Christ would come and pay that debt. So it says up to this time that sins were covered. Once a year, they had the atonement. And if God was satisfied with which represented Christ, they had that lamb that he covered their sins for the year. Well, Hebrews tells us that God didn't cover them finally, that he took them away. With Christ, they are took away, and we are justified in his sight forever. Now, that's the way God does business. See? He's made it plain that that's the way he does it. Now, you can believe it, or you can not believe it. But I'll tell you, if you don't believe it, you'll never be justified in his sight, regardless of what you try to do. That's what he said. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. It's in his sight. For by the law is merely the knowledge. It just showed us that the more God told us what sin was, the more we sinned. The more we had the knowledge of what sin was. So, he ends this. I'll read 26. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just. Jesus, when the woman caught in adultery. Now, they knew where that woman was. They caught her right in the very act. They were not interested in that woman. They weren't even interested in stoning that woman. They knew by this time that he was the one that forgave. They knew him by this time already. They knew that woman. They knew that she'd come crying to him and want help. And we'll have him. He won't be able to help her unless he goes against the holiness of God, against the law. So they tell him, they say the law says that we stone her. Now the law didn't say to stone her. If you read it, it says thou shalt not commit adultery. Through all the other laws, it was incorporated. They had a lot of laws. But he doesn't argue that fact with them, does he? So he was just, and he was her justifier. He don't say a word. He just gets down in what I believe he wrote, and he wrote, thou shalt not commit adultery. And then he gets up and he said, he that is without sin, any of these, cast the first stone. And he rubs it out because Moses rubbed out that law. He broke that law when he come down. But then he writes it right back again. It'll never really be rubbed out. It will be kept in him. You see, he was just. They couldn't catch him. and he was the justifier. He didn't break the law. He didn't go against God's law. And yet, he showed her love and freed her. So, and it was because he would pay the price. And so it says, therefore, it's just simply in believing in Jesus. That's how it is done. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. It isn't based. See, it isn't based on anything I've ever done. Anything. It's only based if I got faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If I go over there and hit a light switch, there's one that'll shut off everything. There isn't anybody in this room or that would be in this room. You bring in Judas himself and let him go over there and hit that light switch. It'll go off or it'll go on. Okay? So this work, this law of faith, has nothing to do with my work. It has every bit of faith in the electrical system. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Ted used to say about the glory hole up here. They had a glory hole in Central City. And that glory hole, there isn't anybody here that wouldn't have liked to hit that glory hole. And he would always preach a sermon on fairy tales, if you know. He'd say Grimm's fairy tales. And there was a gate. And you could look in this gate, and inside this world, there was everything imaginable. That was whatever heart would desire. But nobody could open that gate. And finally, of course, I'd always look at that myself, you know. A prince come by, you know, a very good-looking guy that's 6'2", and I think, well, I'm not 6'2", you know. Of course, but that's how the world is, you know. That's how it's got to be. And he is the one that could take that key and open. Well, you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he'd say the glory hole. And Paul, he would always quote right after the glory hole. Paul said, unto me who am least of all these saints, is this glory hole given, the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I've opened it, and it's all free. Come in. The unsearchable riches of Christ. And this glory hole is not going to ever, the deeper you get into it, the more pleasure there's going to be. Real pleasure. That you've never dreamed of. See? Well, that's what Paul says. So, now, he has anybody that's a legal mind, if you take them to this 11 verses and then take them to the 8th chapter of Romans, they'll squirm. I don't care who they are, they'll squirm. And more than likely, they will never want to talk to you again. That's what will mainly probably happen. It's almost what will happen. If they will not admit that it is only by the work of faith. So he says to conclude that we're justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Because Your deeds is always what? They're always short. It says all have sinned. That means all are short. All have missed the mark. You're all sinners. You might some be a little shorter than others in your estimation. But the reason it isn't done like that, because nobody can do it. Is he the God of the Jews only? And of course, you know the Jews wouldn't like this. Is he not the Gentiles? Yes, the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith, the uncircumcision through faith. He uses circumcision here. Later on, he'll change it because the Jews trusted that. Like people do water baptism today. See, if you were a Jew, if you was born and a Jew, had to be from Jacob. That's where Jews started. Abraham was a Hebrew. And Isaac, see, they have kids that aren't Jews. But Jacob never does. From that time on, you were a Jew. So, we have here a picture that uncircumcision, and you were a Jew, you had to be saved. Today, they go back to water baptism and all kinds of stuff, and they're saved. That's what they trust. Well, he's saying, now, circumcision, that was just a sign of the seal. If you want to read about Abraham, do we make then void the law through faith? God forbid. I'm the one that sees justification. We're the people that establish the law. We give it its rightful place. We admit we can't keep it. None of us can. Without the power of the Holy Ghost, through the life of Christ, we can't keep any of it. So, we're the ones that keep the law. We say, and pretty soon he's going to say, if there's no law, there's no wrath of God. You know what the law is. If I take you to court, it's because we got friction between us, isn't there? Have you ever went to court with somebody and it wasn't because of friction? It won't later say there is no sin. It'll say there's no friction if the law is gone. Understand that. So, we're the ones that establish the law. And then we go now to the 4th and 5th chapter, and he takes these two men. So I'll read. What shall we say then that Abraham our father pertaining to the flesh is found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted. Now we're going to get into this word counted, reckoned, and imputed. They all mean the same. Notice in 5, worketh, and in 8, impute, and it's all the way through. You'll see down in 21, impute. You'll see in 24, impute. These three words, reckon is a German word, counted is a French word, and imputed is Latin. But they're all put here. And they all mean to put to your account. It's a mathematic word. In other words, my bank account, my wife and I have direct depositing. We both are retired from the government, post office, and we both have a check that comes at the month. They deposit that money to our account. God deposited His Son's righteousness, a perfect righteousness, to your account. And that's how you're seen, in His righteousness, His covering forever. That's imputation. Now, that ain't implantation. We'll later get into that. And when it starts that sixth chapter, shall we sin because of grace? God forbid. You see, then he's going to start on really what the riches of that glory hole is. That he can give you a glorious life. That's the riches. That's what you're after, is to grow up in that life. That's the reward. What good would a reward do you if you never really got over anything and you never was a character? There's a lot of kings and princesses that were born into family that never had a character. And they would have been better off had they not been born into something like that. That's the riches. He's going to give you a character and a relationship that he can fully enjoy. So naturally, when he starts this sixth chapter, he's going to start like that and tell you, you think because of all this justification and all this imputation that you should go out here and sin, that grace may abound? He's going to tell you, you don't even understand what it's all about. Now, there are people, a lot of people that if you talk to them and they've been trained, they can tell you what justification is in their head. But most of them can't. But then there are some that can. But they cannot get into the sanctified life, because there's three steps that they cannot get to. When we start off at it, it's going to say, knowing this. You got to know something. You're not just going to get up there and sit on the throne. You're going to have to know something. You notice the four beasts, and one of the four beasts, even John in his revelation, he sees it as one of the 12. But one of those four beasts sees it as the bride of Christ. He sees it full of eyes. Out in everywhere. He knows it. He sees it. Is that what you're after? You want a body like that? A knowledge like that? And even John has to admit, you know. He said, sir, you know. I don't know, but you know. Dad used to say, I won't want to play golf because I'd hit a golf ball way out there. I'd know exactly what it was going to do. Now, he was expecting a knowledge of those that will be in the bride of Christ. He was expecting something that when these others said to him, well, you know, and he'd say, yeah, I do know. Because the eyes of my understanding have been enlightened here. So I know what this hope is and what he's going to do. And that's what I'm trusting him for. There's some people that the eyes of their understanding will never be enlightened. And he'll start off and he'll say when he starts, knowing this. So you got to know something. if you're expecting to be this. Now, you're justified. He is going to take that coat back. That imputation, that life is yours. But as far as sanctification, growing up in Christ, to know all things, you're not going to get there if you don't start knowing some of the things he's trying to teach you. And then he's going to say, the next word will be reckon. Count it. Over in the 8th, he says, I reckon that anything that could happen to me here isn't even worthy to be compared to the glory of that life that will be revealed in me. Figure it up. But how are you going to figure it up unless you know it? So then, there's some tough stuff to read in here. We get to the 5th verse, the 5th chapter, and I always like to read those first 2 verses. And them's pretty good verses in that 5th chapter. You see? But I didn't like to get into that 3rd verse. See? That's glory and tribulation also. Now, what kind of glory is that? See, he's going to say, reckon it. Count it now. Everything I've told you. Start figuring it out. Figuring it up. Reckon it. And then what's the next? Yield. Yield. Surrender. Stick them up and say, it's all yours. So, he gives us the outline. But what he does here is he starts with Abraham. I'm not going to try to read through this. I'll just give you an outline on what's here. He starts with Abraham and he gives 5th, 6th, and 7th, and 8th to David. And he takes these 2 men that had just as much controversy in their lives as you'll ever have. But yet, they ended up sanctified. And he tells why. But he shows that it was all justification, did not come by works to these 2 men, but it come to them because of their faith in God and His faithfulness. You see now, in verse 20, for instance, this is Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Now, Lot had faith, but he wasn't strong in faith. See, he's trying to tell you something. If you're going, and then in 12, he's going to talk about the steps of that faith. And he's going to tell you that you're going to have some giant steps in faith if you're going to make this trip. See, there was those that said, I got a little faith, and as a mustard seed, that's fine. But if you're going to be in the bride of Christ, you're going to have strong in faith. That's why he was picked. That's why Abraham was picked. Strong in faith. He didn't stagger at his promise. And we got a lot better promises than Abraham. And giving glory to God. That's the key to it. See? There's a lot of people that they're not going to give glory to God when God does something for them. But we'll get to that, Lord willing. But he says to Abraham, he says, what did we find? What shall we find about Abraham? Because if he was justified by works, he could glory. Instead of giving glory to God, it would be him that could glory. And Jesus said that Abraham, see, he's seen it all, was glad to see his day, Jesus' day. If you want to read John 8:56, read it. In other words, he understood that Christ would come and die for him. And he acted it out with Isaac. Abraham, it says, of all his believing, think of that, he's called the father of faith. He's strong in faith. Jesus, it said, he could see their faith. You can't see anybody's faith. I thought people had faith. I thought I could see their faith. They didn't have any. I found out later. All their faith, well, they had faith and it was all in themselves. So, and there was some that had very little faith. But to do what he did, he had to really believe God said it, and that's what it is. He'll bring me in, and he did. But it says, how did he get it? All by grace. It says in 3, for what says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him. Not instead of, but unto. He's actually righteous. He is a righteous person. He's as righteous as the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that's imputation. You are just as righteous the minute you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as Jesus Christ himself. It isn't instead of. That way you just go out and you're still naturally just a sinner. He's just forgave you. There's no change whatsoever. If it was a trade like that. But it was unto and it was a life. He was righteous. For righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward of justification. Now he's talking about justification. Not sanctification here. Of course, sanctification, it comes by grace too. But it's the righteousnesses of the saints. If you're going to get that robe, which means works. Righteous works. But that's a different subject. But reckon of grace, but of debt. Now, what he's saying, had Abraham done one thing that he had done in his own strength, God would have owed him something. I don't think I'll get to that part, but it does say in there, it says, to whom does God owe anything? Who? He asked Lot, who in the world do I owe anything to? See these people that they give all this money to these TV evangelists and they're going to barter with God. They're going to get God in debt to them. And it says, to whom does he owe anything or ever will owe anything? If I, and there are, had fought in the Korean and the Vietnam War, and I had did 30 years, and had been half the time away from my family. And when it come time for me to retire, they said, the government said, now we're going to generously give you your pension. Boy, talk about blowing up. Huh? What do you mean? I put in 30 years of my life. Shot 10 times. And you're telling me that by grace, you're giving me this? Huh? I earned it. That's what he's saying here. If Abraham would have did one thing in his own strength to clean up his act and to please God, he could have bragged about it. That's why Dad would always say his fingernails. That was the one thing, and the especially one thing that God didn't like about me was my dirty fingernails. And the only way I could ever get them clean was for me to do it. But I did it. Then I'd get up in heaven and say, haven't you ever noticed my clean fingernails? That's what he's saying. Sometimes it's funny, but it's serious. When we try to pawn that kind of stuff over on God. So he's saying, this father, and don't think he wasn't the great faith. We'll get a little into what he did. Strong in faith, what he did. Pleasing to God. Are you strong in faith? Have you heard these promises that was talked about this morning? And it staggers you to the point that you can't believe God? That's for me. That's where I'm going to be. And I'm going to trust you for it. Well, now he's going to tell you how to do it. He's going to tell you how to get over to that 8th chapter. And when you get into that 8th chapter, if you're really there, they'll never get you back into the other chapters. Let's stand.